numerology is a system of ancient codes found in our birth information that gives insight to the lessons we each must learn in this lifetime. Elizabeth Summers is a medium and esoteric numerologer offering her knowledge of ancient wisdoms to help fellow travelers towards a more enlightened and peaceful path. Join her now for the magical world of numbers.
Hi, good evening, and happy Christmas Eve. Thank you so much for coming to visit with me on such a beautiful, beautiful evening. I am Elizabeth Summers, your host. I'm an esoteric numerologist. I bring in astrology and tarot interpretations in my work, and I use several systems that are a language to me, where I decode in the charts that I do for my clients information about the blueprint of the life that they've put together for this time, and actually what's happening now in their lives for 6 months, 12 months at a time. And so here we are on a beautiful evening of Christmas Eve. The shopping is done, the frenetics are done, the cookies are ready, the relatives are arriving, good, bad, or indifferent, and it's time now for us to just to take a deep breath. It's time for us to stop, just stop in our lives and enjoy. There's nothing more monumental that needs to be accomplished, can be accomplished. My mother was rather stoic in her consciousness, and her attitude was, it's going to come, it's going to go. Well, I don't particularly appreciate that stoic attitude, but in a way, kind of, sort of is. So I hope by the time you've gotten to this moment of time, you are stopping. What's done is done. What's finished is finished. And now we're going to enjoy. We're going to relax. We're going to enjoy. This is a time for family. It is a time for love. It is a time for our own self-love. And it is a time for nurturing. And this is what we absolutely need to do. Know that this evening, I'm going to talk to you about, yes, the number 24, which adds to a 6, and we're going to start with a 6 and amp up to the 24, which is called the love vibration. And then we're going to take a break, and I'm going to share with you one of my favorite Christmas memories personally. It's kind of long, but I'm going to take you on a journey, take you into an adventure that ends up as one of the biggest spiritual moments of my whole life. And so the number 6 is where we're going to start. The number 6 is called, in tarot cards, the lover's card. And it means exactly what it says. It is the lover's card. And not necessarily romantic love, if you will. The number 6, I mean, a 6 is a 6 is a 6, but there's 15-6, 24-6, 33-6. And in the work that I do, I break it down. And a 6 or a single number, 1 through 9, is like a basic black dress. When I work through the formulas, however, and arrive at what are called compound numbers, 15-6, 24-6, 42-6, 51-6, that puts those compound numbers, technically, in tarot cards, into slots, four major slots that are called suits. Just as the playing cards have four suits, ancient tarot also has four suits. And in fact, our playing cards that people use for enjoyment or gambling or what have you were originally birthed from the ancient tarot cards, because the ancient tarot cards have pictures painted on them. And in the Middle Ages, during the Inquisition and what have you, they were outlawed, they were banned, and they went underground, so to speak. So therefore, the readers at the time created simpler cards that have hearts on them and spades on them and this on them and that on them. You can tell I don't play cards. And those then were used by spiritual readers to guide people spiritually instead of using the pictorial tarot cards, because they were outlawed. Today there are card readers, spiritual readers that will use the regular playing deck. They have learned how to interpret the information using the basic gambling, playing deck, and what have you. I don't do that. I use the very ancient Rider-Waite deck that has all the symbols, the ancient symbols on it, and ancient interpretations. And so the number six, the Lover's card, is really technically all about that. Astrologically speaking, it is connected to the sign of Venus. In my work, I bring in astrological information, tarot information, and the ancient numerological interpretation. So the number six is connected to planet Venus. Venus, goddess of love. The number six is about love and money. And wherever Venus is moving in your rotating chart called transit, it's influencing your love, your money, your relationships, and I'll get to that in a moment. But Venus, the goddess of love, rules two major signs, Libra and Taurus. And it rules, of the 12 houses in the zodiac, it rules two, that of the second house and that of the seventh house. Now, the second house, which is where Taurus likes to sit around, is all about values. What are your values? And when Saturn, Marine Corps drill instructor, is in the second house when a person is born, which in the work that I do, I'm able to tell people where's their Venus, where's their Saturn, whatever, for this whole lifetime. When Saturn, Marine Corps drill instructor in the universe, sits in the second house, it's a little toughy. That life is filled with financial limitations for a while. The whole value system gets reset, gets turned upside down, et cetera, et cetera. So Venus, we like to think of in the positive, the goddess of love, the goddess of beauty, and it rules our sentiments and our values and our pleasures in our life. If you ever see Venus de Milo, the statue, she's lovely, she's very elegant, absolutely depicts grace and charm and beauty that rules our own personal taste. Now, this is highly influenced. If Venus sits in a person's fourth house, which is all about house and home, that says that person that astrologically has Venus in its fourth house of house and home and domestic issues. A person has probably really good taste, really artistic inclinations, likes pleasures, knows how to entertain well, and really knows how to make other people happy. Venus indicates relationships with the heart, with the emotions, where it tries to bring balance, tries to refine us, tries to guide us appropriately, how to get the appropriate pleasure from relationships. Venus also tries to show us how to spend our money. All of this is connected to the number six, the basic, everyday number six. Yes, it's the lover's card, but it has more depth to it. Because if you have the number six numerologically, where it's called the lover's card, it's about relationships and responsibility. Well, for Pete's sake, doesn't the emotions, doesn't love, doesn't the handling of money, doesn't the appropriate use of leisure time, the traditions in a home and a family and what have you? Now, it's very interesting. Some astrologers will differentiate how Venus shows itself by a man or a woman. And in some numbers in numerology, also there is a different interpretation when it's applied to a man and when it's applied to a woman. For instance, the number seven. When the number seven, which is really a spiritual number, but when the number seven appears in this one particular formula that I use for a man at a certain age, it indicates good financial gain for him. Now, seven's not even a financial number. And don't ask me where this interpretation came from, I do not know. But if the number seven in that same formula appears for a female, it says, oh, this is a good age year for her to get married. Now, technically speaking, marriage and money are not connected to the number seven. But somewhere along the line, Pythagoras decided this interpretation, and you know, I found it to be kind of true. Kind of true. So, know that a lot of times men, unfortunately, for their sake, do not show their softer, gentler side. They kind of sort of disown the qualities connected to Venus. And or they project it onto their partner. Their partner, they draw in partners that are reflections of their feelings, of their emotions, of their this and that and the other thing. So in Venus, the number six astrologically is connected with us. Know that she, the goddess of love and beauty, rules, well, among other things, the arts, love, romance, beauty, beautifying project, cosmetics, skincare, hair, clothing, design of all sorts, entertainment, leisure, sensuality, and comfort. Taurus people love comfort. They are very much interested in food and comfortable home and beautiful jewelry, and so are Libras. Taurus and Libras, hand in hand with goddess Venus. Now that is not too shabby. The number six is all about people. It's about giving consideration to other people, to be happy for their accomplishments and the rewards that they've made on their own. Anyone who has a birthday number of a six or a soul number that comes from adding all the vowels together of a six They don't like jealousy. They can't understand why other people aren't happy for other people. And in spite of their great desire for a real peaceful environment, you do not want to cross them. They're slow burners, but if you cross them and push them enough, they absolutely will fight for their beliefs against all opposition. You have just not met a more determined person. If it is their life lesson, which comes from adding their month, day, and year of birth together, they're here to learn to be determined. And usually it is through family situations that determination evolves. They have children that they inspire and they teach and are determined to be a good mother to those children. Most of the time, that is the case. But, you know, I've told you before, every number has a positive and a negative side. Most souls, because I'm an esoteric numerologist, a fancy word that says I look at the work that I do for my clients from the soul's perspective that helps them understand what they're carrying out for human being and emotional situations in their life. But you have to get back to what's it all about, Alfie. You have to get back to the core issue that the environment and their relationships are all causing. Up and down, up and down. So in the negative, the number six can be stubborn mules. If you know anyone that has a six birthday number, and you would probably not be able to figure out, it's not hard, but you need more information. I can't teach it to you over the radio, over the internet. I think I just aged myself there. Over the internet. They can be really obstinate. Unfortunately, and I have seen this in my own family, and I've seen it with a lot of clients of mine, when it comes to their family and to their loved ones, they smother love. Now, in a birth name, if there are too many letters that are F, O, or X in a birth name, there should be only one of those in a birth name. I have clients that have 3, 4. Then we go into the negative here. We have a stubborn person most of the time coming in here and very possessive. They smother love, if you will. And people reject them, walk away from them, use them as a doormat, walk all over them. Okay, you want to mother me? You want to take responsibility for my screw-ups? Because the number six lesson to be learned is about personal responsibility for one's own life. And speaking along those lines, responsibility, we're responsible in the face of ourselves when we move out of this lifetime. There is no judgment, no God that is standing there with a chalkboard and whatever, finger wagging at us, all of that nonsense. We look back at our own lives, and we look back at our own screw-ups, and we feel what the other person felt when we badgered them, when we disrespected them, when we verbally hurt them, when we physically abused them. We feel what they felt, then that develops within us who are watching it like a television, a Hallmark television movie. That spiritually prompts us to learn compassion, to learn forgiveness of ourselves, to learn empathy, to change our temperament, to soften our edges. We look back at our own lives and shape ourselves up spiritually. And sometimes it takes more than one lifetime, more than one incarnation to accomplish all of that. But we do it. We are responsible for ourselves and our choices first, our children to a certain age second, our partner third, community fourth. And as I say, some people then also hop on a plane, go to Bangladesh and help everybody else. But we come first. We're not doormats. And so people who are in families that are smother loving, this is man, but a lot of times it's the mothers. They bury themselves in their home. They don't go anywhere. Tourists are famous for this. You almost think they have agoraphobia. They bury themselves in their home almost to the point of being a recluse. And if they feel our number sixes in the negative. Now, this applies to 24-6 and 33-6 and 42-6 and all that. But the temperament, the birthday number, 6-15-6-24-6, is primarily what I'm talking to you about now, because that's one's personality, which influences tremendously. So, if any of those temperaments feel as though they've been denied love that they need so desperately, then they begin to feel sorry for themselves, and they complain, and they whine, and they indulge in self-pity, and all that negativity then will affect their health. We got health issues then creeping in here, and they become so discontented and so jealous that they play the martyr instead of taking responsibility for their own happiness, their own lives. And I would hope that that is something that you sincerely think about during this Christmas holiday season. I'm sure that you have been out there thinking of other people and nurturing other people and sending cards and cooking cookies and buying gifts and wrapping this and making yourself crazy. It's over. This is your time now. Even if you're there all by yourself, this is your time. In the positive, the number six has tremendous power for good, to bring joy and love and beauty and a sense of justice into other people's lives. They kind of establish themselves as a little snuggly harbor in the cold, destructive storms of life. They're little snuggy bears. 24-6, called the love vibration, actually, it kind of amps up the number six, like security. When we have what is called a compound number, the compound number, 2-4, the number two leads the way, which is all about partnership. And the four is all about security. And the numbers 4 and 8 love marriage. They love permanency in partnerships. Okay, you don't need a piece of paper. That's not the issue. They love the permanency and the structure connected to the partnership. And that's what makes them happy. So the number 24-6, the love vibration, is really fortunate. Fortunate for love. And it's a family vibration. And they make very good companions, very good helpmates. That's that too. They like partnerships. And they love their home and children and nature. And they're very ambitious. And they kind of have a little ebullience, a buoyant energy about them, enthusiastic energy about them, about creating an abundant lifestyle, lots of plans, lots of luxuries, lots of good life, food, whatever. The 24-6 stature can be kind of stately. You know, the chins up, shoulders back sort of energy. but also very kind and very patient. Well, on the negative side, jealousy, unfaithfulness to their partner. You say, oh, that's such a contradiction, but remember, we're talking about the out-of-balance negative. These little love buckets run around loving everybody and are unfaithful to their partner. They can be very domineering. My way or the highway. This is the negative of the number 24. They can be stubborn. And when you cross them, look out. They're very revengeful. Well, that's kind of setting up negative karma, folks, isn't it? What can I say? So the number 24-6 is all about family. Yes, it's the number 6 also. Yes. Family matters. Love. Very favorable. It has the potential in business, in businesses that are service-oriented businesses, to be very financially successful. And they frequently can get their success through members of the opposite sex. Those partners. This 24-6 love vibration is all about marriage, the birth of children, sometimes a lot of children. Now, we're not necessarily talking 19 kids and counting sort of children. But this is a harvest energy. And when it shows up in what is called a transit chart, a chart that's about time, maybe the year that a person is in, a personal year or a month that they're in, it usually brings good things. Good things to the home, good things to celebration, good things financially, excellent for businesses and business prosperity. The number 6, we go in 9-year cycles. You've heard me talk about this before. 9-year cycles, 9-year cycles, 9-year cycles from birth to death. Out of this incarnation. When a person is in a 6-year, it is wonderful to start a business, to create a business, because it has hidden in there, that 6, it has 2 3s, 2 number 3s. And number 3 is connected to Jupiter, the planet of good luck and abundance, and the Empress card, and expansion, and opportunity. So I think it's sweet that Christmas Eve falls on the number 24. The number 24 is all about the number 6, and the number 24 is all about family. It's all about love, and beauty, and romance. It is all about Venus energy, heart energy, nurturing energy, cookies, food, Christmas tree, romance, packages, happiness, nurturing and caring of ourselves first and then other people. You cannot give what you do not have. And so many women are coming into this lifetime dependent upon outside sources to validate them in order to feel loved. That self-love starts with you. Starts with you. If you do not nurture love and care you, nobody else is. Because an outside world is a reflection of your inside world. So what we're going to do now, because tonight I'm not going to be doing any mini readings. I will next week, because next week we will be together on New Year's Eve. I mean, can you imagine? I'm going to feel like I'm in Times Square. All the noise and the celebration, I'll be celebrating with you. So I hope New Year's Eve you have a little champagne glass of orange juice, if nothing else. The good life, because we are going to celebrate next week the finishing up of 2014, never to look back, and eye straight ahead. So let's take a break, get a drink of water, whatever, and we will be back. And I'm going to share with you one of my personal favorite memories of Christmas. Well, here we are again with each other on the beautiful energy of Christmas Eve. Here in Colorado, where I live, the mountains are being blasted with snow. We're going to have snow in my town on Christmas night, rolling into Friday morning. One would think, oh, you live in Colorado, you're going to get snow all the time for Christmas. But it's been several years since we have had snow for Christmas in the Denver, Colorado area. The East Coast gets tons more snow than we do along the Front Range where I live. The mountains in Colorado, wonderful. They're having fabulous opportunities and lots and lots of snow. Unfortunately, I don't live there right now, and I love snow. When it snows, I am just in hog heaven, as the saying goes. I light all my candles, I put on music, I usually get out, make chicken soup, and really get into it. I love snow. Which now leads me to my Christmas story. Several days ago, it was still not even light out in the morning. I plugged in all of the lights on my Christmas tree, and I was sitting with my cup of coffee, just enjoying the now. The beauty of the candles and the Christmas tree and the peace and serenity, sunrise was not up, and the house was quiet. And I thought to myself, what, Elizabeth, are some of your favorite Christmas memories? And I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there, and began to remember that I had to go to find this favorite Christmas memory connected to my love of snow way back when my son was about 9 or 10 years of age. I was a single mother at the time, and I traveled a lot with him. I firmly believe that travel is very educational, and I took him everywhere up and down the East Coast, Washington a couple of times, Niagara Falls, New York City, the Macy's Day Parade when it was the most awful, awful rainy weather. My bones just said, don't you ever do that to us again. All over the place. So on one of these bus trips, coming home from wherever, I do not know, although I think it was Niagara Falls, there was this man, 20, 30 years of age, who was traveling with his mother on this bus trip. And we got chatting on our way home. And he said, you know, you have got to go to Chateau Montebello outside of Montreal for Christmas. Really? I don't remember too much more about his description about the whole thing. But I thought to myself, why not? And there must be snow up there in Canada at Christmas time. I'm packing my bags. So I came home, and I researched it. I called. I made reservations. And we're going. My son and I are going that Christmas. Because where I lived in the Harrisburg, Philadelphia area, we rarely got snow for Christmas. And I love snow. Big romantic. If I play one more time White Christmas with Bing Crosby and company going up there to Vermont, I'd be able to write the script freehand. So we go by train. We have to go from train from Harrisburg to Philadelphia, transfer onto the Montrealer, which we did, and here I am, a 9-year-old in tow, and luggage, you got to get a mental picture here, and onto the Montrealer, onto the train, going north. And we're going north, and we're out of Pennsylvania and going into New York and going through St. Albans, and starting the train, just like in the movies. So excited. This is so cool. With the skis and the luggage and the presents, and it was so Christmassy, just like, you know, like Christmas movie. North, 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 going, going. And now I begin to see snow, and it's starting to snow, kind of, sort of, but it had snowed because all the landscape around, as I looked out the window, began to show snow. Going north, 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 and then after hours of traveling on the Montrealer train, we cross into Canada and more snow, and the train stops. Oh no, Mr. Bill. I look out on either side of the train, and it was a scene right out of Dr. Zhivago. The desolation. Fields, like being in Kansas. Fields that are snow covered fields, and the train is stopping. And I'm panicking because I have to make a bus connection with my son in Montreal to go to wherever this Chateau Montebello is. Stopped. Customs. Police. On checking everybody's driver's license. At that time, it was a driver's license. Passports, whatever. And they would not move that train until they checked everybody to be sure, I suppose, that we were not Russian spies. And I'm sweating bullets because I don't know where this connection is. I got to, okay, snow or no snow, I'm getting a little nervous. But it was, the train starts to move, going north into Canada, into Montreal. We get off the train. Somehow, someway, I found the bus station connection. On we go. Luggage, son in tow. I'm hungry. You know how they can be. They get hungry at the darndest times. And here we are on what was really kind of sort of like a school bus or a Greyhound bus, I would say. And we are now en route to Chateau Montebello. Out into the country we go. Beautiful tall pines and more snow and piles of it. And, oh, it's just delightful. Onto this two-lane country highway. And the bus stops in the middle of this two-lane highway in the country, snow up to the hubcaps of the bus, trees that were going to God's heaven. And he turns to me and he says, "You're here. Get off here. Get out here." Really? In the middle, dark, no streetlights. We're in the country someplace. Well, I said, "Well, where is it?" So he says, "Oh, just get off and walk up that road there. Just like that, and I'll walk up that road there." And I got off the bus with this 9-year-old in luggage and stood there in the middle of this two-lane highway watching the back of the bus pull away, going down the lane into God's country. And there we stood. And I thought to myself, we're going to freeze to death. This is the end. We're going to freeze to death. I'm responsible for the death of my son right here. He said, the man said, "Just walk up that road." Well, all right. Up the road we start to walk. Nothing. No lights. Nothing. A single lane. Up the road we're walking, dragging suitcases, holding hands, hearing I'm hungry. It's cold out here. Whatever. And then, slowly, just like in the movie, there began to appear the lamplights of the lane and this magnificent two-story Canadian log lodge began to appear. It was spectacular. It was like the spokes of a wheel, five spokes, and it was glorious. It was magical. And I registered, and of course they speak French there. I had knew some French, but they also spoke English. It had a five-sided stone fireplace with the fires roaring in some of them. It was two stories tall. It had this biggest Christmas tree that I've seen next to the one in Rockefeller Center in New York where I always go. And it was decorated and it was spectacular. I was thrilled, first of all, that I found it. And secondly, it was magnificent. And the room was a lodge. It was a lodge. Well, I'm a foodie. I love food. Folks, the food was over the top. Fabulous food. Fabulous breakfast. Great ambiance. The dining room was all glass enclosed, and you could see all out of the windows and the trees and the snow. And my son learned to play hockey there, hooked up a friendship with a young boy his age, whose grandfather turned out to be the manager of the whole lodge, Chateau Montebello, and my son and I were invited to join him and the boy's family for Christmas dinner. And you know, we got treated very well at the manager's table. And the champagne flowed and the food flowed. And it was magical, magical. 3 days. 4 days was the length of the trip. Somewhere in there, I thought I would venture out and learn how to cross-country ski. I will tell you that that was the first, only, and last time I ever ventured out cross-country skiing. I'm a pretty coordinated person, but I was stupid on those skis. But here is the most beautiful moment that I recall. Yes, the food. Yes, the candlelight. Yes, the Christmas tree. The children came in from the village and on Christmas Eve and sang French Christmas carols. And then the mass was at this charming little church, little chapel. I mean, it was just so romantic. Not love romantic, but aesthetically, inspirationally romantic. But one afternoon on my following out on these cross-country skis, I am going through the woods, the path in the woods. Now, snow, but it was somewhat warm that day. And the sun was out, and the trees and the snow was crackling as the snow was melting off the branches. And something got me to stop in the middle of the woods, this beautiful, pristine scene. And it was spiritual. The silence, the beauty was spiritual. I still feel the feeling. I said, this is what it's like to be next to God. This is what it is like to feel the peace, simplicity, serenity of Mother, Father, God. The silence, the purity, the beauty, it was magnificent. It was one of the most spiritual experiences I have ever had. My son and I returned 2 more years to Chateau Montebello for our Christmas vacations. But it was just never the same. It was great, but it was just never the same as that first foray out into a new territory. I look back at myself now and I say to myself, what on earth were you thinking? Taking off. Going someplace you never knew, getting off a bus in the middle of a 2-lane highway of total darkness all by yourself. I don't know about you, but at my age, I look back at what I did in my younger years, and I just find myself just shaking my head. Who was that person? What were you thinking? And here I am. So therefore know, in the quiet time of this holiday, you take time, to sit, just sit. Look at the tree, or look at the candles, or look at your decorations, and even if you're all by yourself, get out the best dishes that you have. Get out a goblet, a crystal goblet, a fancy glass, something. You don't have to have champagne and filet mignon. You set yourself up. You make it good for you. You say, no, this is my moment of time. This is my love, my number 6, my 24/6. I love me. If it's meant to be, it's up to me. Years ago, there was a charming story, a movie with Walter Matthau called Koch, K-O-T-C-H. And in that movie, there was a song that sang, life is what you make it, and what you make it depends on you. And that song has always stuck with me. If it's meant to be, it's up to me. You take care of you. Many of my clients that I have live alone. Many of them don't have families around. Several are widows and widowers. Several are divorced. Several do not necessarily have a support system around them. And these holidays can be difficult. These holidays can be difficult. So here is what I'm offering you. I'm offering everybody, but especially my sweet people who feel alone. It's different. Being alone is different than being lonely. Tomorrow, on Christmas Day, from 11 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Colorado time, which is mountain time, I am opening up my phone lines to you. I am saying to you, call me. If you want to chat for a few minutes, pick up the phone. You call me. Here is my direct line. 303-702-5420. Let me repeat that. 303-702-5420. And I will open those phone lines at 11 o'clock in the morning, Colorado time, and keep them open until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, this live show that I'm doing with you now will replay Saturday night and Sunday night. Those phone lines that I'm talking to you about only apply to Christmas Day. Christmas Day. And we'll chat. Not forever, but I'm here for you. I am here for you. I'm on your side. I always tell you in my newsletters, in my writings, in my radio show, you are not alone. As long as I'm around, you are not alone. Go to my website, ElizabethSummers.com, or the Magical World of Numbers. Sign up for my newsletter. Free. I will send you announcements. I'll send you spiritual guidance. I will send you everything that I can come across that I think would help you tremendously. And also, on my Facebook, I have three Facebook sites. One is called The Magical World of Numbers. The other one is called Summers Numerology. Thumbs up. You see a little thumb icon. Click on that. Tell me that you like those sites. And the more likes I get, the more Facebook will share my work with more people, which I think that's a terrible system, but what am I going to do? And on there, I write things for guidance. Be good to yourself. And hopefully, any of you who are listening, who have friends that you know might be alone, call them on Christmas Day. Always, but call them on Christmas Day. Hi, thinking about you. How you doing? What are you doing? Don't make it all about you. You're calling to make it about them because they're the ones that might be lonely. They're the ones that are alone. You probably have four generations making noise all throughout your house. You'd love to get into your own space and call somebody and have some quiet time to yourself. Now, when and if my listeners call me tomorrow, Christmas Day, from 11 to 4, Mountain Time. I mean, if you're in the East Coast, you're 2 hours ahead, and if you're me, and if you're on the West Coast, you're 1 hour behind me. And if you're in the middle, I get confused about the middle of the United States. So one hour ahead, one same time zone. I don't know. So I get confused about the middle of the country. I got the coast down pat. No, so I might be in the kitchen because, you know, I'm a foodie and cooking is my hobby. And you would think that I was cooking for the paratroopers in the Army tomorrow. So you might hear clanging and whatever, but we'll have a good time. I'm here for you. Christmas Eve is beautiful. Christmas Eve is peaceful. Christmas Eve has all of its romance connected to it, has all of its figures connected to it, has all of its spirituality of the Feast of Christmas connected to it. You take the information of the number six. It is about lovers. Love yourself. Be good to yourself. Know that you are divine. Know that you are not alone. And by all means, make happy Christmas memories. Go back in your mind, think of childhood, think of what was two or three of your favorite Christmas memories, and enjoy them and bring that energy back. I think it's so cool that I have been able to spend Christmas Eve with you. So just delightful. Wouldn't want it any other way to spend Christmas Eve with you. And so, until next time, know that I send you God's white light and His peace and His harmony. Know that I wish you all good things. And thank you so much one more time for visiting with me in the magical world of numbers. And have a wonderful, merry Christmas.